Tonight, pretty late pal Brandon C. Price rides sidecar for the evening. Then later, it's New Music Monday and Tom Holland has some blues for us. Finally, we'll get an early preview of Ferris Fest. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Ah, thank you so much for joining us. It's Pretty Late. I am your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Happy to be here. Just finished a round of stair climbing, Craig. Did not see you in the stairwell. Was missing you.
I was actually in a B, I think, and you were in A.
Oh, that might have been it. Yeah, that's a good point.
That was it.
I think Esmeralda was in C. Rob Martier was climbing the stairs in D. We nary our paths shall meet.
Right.
And we do it that
way. It was tragic. We were all texting, though, so.
The selfies will be coming from the stairwell. I just finished a round of stair climbing, training for the Fight for Air Climb coming up on March 6th. But before that, I will also be climbing the Hancock. I'll be hustling up the Hancock on Sunday the 29th. I think, is that February 28th, 29th?
And you're going to boot camp.
And then I'm going to boot camp. What? Why does that sound crazy to you?
That's fine.
Sounds absolutely fun. I'll be in Kohler, Wisconsin, too, by the way, at their big comedy evening coming up on March 5th. So this is how it works. Sunday, I climb up the Hancock, hustle up the Hancock. Monday, the Marines pick me up at some undetermined time. Basically, I'm just supposed to be ready with my go bag. They put me on a plane. They have not told me what time yet. Just be ready to go. And they will deposit me in San Diego along with Mark Carman. We don't know who Mark Carman is staying with yet. I get my own room because I have to broadcast. I have to do a show. So it would be a burden to any roommate I am assigned to. We are going as educators and observers at the Marine Corps boot camp in Pendleton in San Diego. And we will be basically there to experience what the recruits go through. Hopefully not exactly what they go through. I'm a little bit older than many of the recruits. So I think it is more to get the experience to share what that's like, what they go through, what men and women's options are. If it's not, maybe not college right out of high school, or maybe, you know, a lot of people looking for something to do with their lives. So we'll be doing videos, talking to recruits, hopefully talking to some young men and women from the Illinois area, and find out what it's like, if it's everything they hoped it would be, if it's better or worse. I don't know if we get to say whether or not it's worse, but I think we get our own editing. Abilities.
Yeah, I think we'll be allowed to edit whatever we want, and it'll probably be an amazing experience.
I'm very excited. Yeah. I've done the FBI Citizens Academy before I started working for WGN. I went through their training academy. We did 6 weeks of learning like the different kinds of operations that they do. Someday I'll go through my notes and share that with you, but this will be a firsthand experience in real time. Every night we'll be broadcasting from San Diego. And okay, so I get back on Friday the 4th. I get back, possibly the 5th. We haven't decided. I may stay an extra day for footage, for interviews. That evening, I go to Kohler, Wisconsin, get up on March 6th, and do the Presidential Towers Fight for Air Climb for the American Lung Association. So that'll be fine. I'll be fine. We should have some sort of really big party on March 7th is what I think.
Okay, that Monday.
Or maybe March 6th. Maybe
do you want to have a pasta party?
Ooh, I do want to have a pasta. Do I load up on carbs before the climb?
That's what you're supposed to do, yeah.
So you're saying load up on carbs after?
I guess I am.
Okay.
You're right. This doesn't really make sense, but that's fine.
We can't.
We can figure this out.
I think once you climb four towers, you feel like you can have anything you want.
Yeah.
So yes, I say a pasta party sounds fantastic.
Great.
Is that like a potluck? Everyone brings their favorite kind of pasta?
I was going to have like restaurants do it, but we could have guests and stuff.
Let's totally do restaurants.
Yeah.
Some great restaurants.
I'm just going to ask everybody to bring noodles.
Bring noodles. It's noodle mania. We'll figure out a name for it.
Pretty Late's Noodle Mania.
Noodle Mania.
Oh, man, I want that party
sounds
to happen
like a noodle
every year.
Throwdown.
Yeah, it really does.
We still have not found a singlet, a Chewbacca singlet for Elliot Serrano.
That's this Saturday, right?
Is that the Saturday?
I think it is. I believe I'm appearing in it. I believe I am wrestling with
I believe I have Rob's four kids that night.
Yeah, you do. You've got to watch the four kids.
Babysitting Rob's four kids. Esmeralda, I have a surprise for you, but I can't decide when we should open it.
I know. I have it here.
And do you think you know what it is?
No.
Not yet?
No.
I'll give you a hint. It is it's something that you've posted about on your Facebook page. So I decided.
Uh-oh. Huh.
She's like, what did I post? What did I say? What did I
know,
say?
No, I'm like,
that's
oh,
interesting
boy.
That her reaction is actually fear.
Yeah, not fear, but just like, I'm now, I don't know what I've posted.
It's something we can do together, not at the same time with each other, but we can report.
Toy?
No.
Yeah, what is it? I don't know what's in the box.
Now I feel like I should get you something that has, like, someday we'll work up to that relationship. I don't know if we'll talk about it on the air. This does seem like something we can't talk about on the air. We can do it before and after is what we'll be doing. It may take some time. Oh, look, Esmeralda's like, wait, what did I post? What takes some time passage of time to find out what it is. I don't know. When do we unveil that? Do we do it the next segment or do we wait until later in the evening?
Whenever you want.
Let's do it in the next segment. I want to hear what how Rob reacts as well, since he didn't get
a prize. Since you're all here, I think that's probably best. More after this. Find out what it is. What's in the box for Esmeralda Leon? You're listening pretty late, obviously. That's A Long Road to Tomorrow by Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings. They'll be coming up live in the Allstate Showcase studio after midnight. I have been sort of alluding to an item that I've purchased for Esmeralda. Let me go to your Facebook page and see. Have you figured out from your Facebook page or have you opened it up yet?
I haven't looked at either to figure it out.
Well, it is a beauty item that you were kind of pondering, thinking that maybe this is something I should try. You've sent me personal messages about other treatments, asked me about maybe some of the full body scrubs at King Spa, whether or not it's all that crazy and stuff. But this one you posted, I think you posted it publicly, something that you thought you needed to try.
Right. Oh, the facial brush.
No, not for your... No, you've asked
no?
me... That's the Clarisonic. I wish I could give you one of those. Those are a little more...
Well, no, I was going to say I bought something out. I bought a knockoff.
Well, no, I had told you to try the charcoal sponges,
yes.
Which I like very much.
Okay, just open the present. Okay, just open it.
No. Let me see if I can find the description before she opens it. I have to find go to her Facebook page and scroll down. See if you can go. Everyone, go to Facebook.com and Esmeralda Leon. See if you can find the item. And the first person to call and tell me what it is. This is what we'll do. I just made it into a contest.
This is awesome.
You have to. You also have to. Do you have a like page or do you only have a friends page?
I just have a friends page.
Okay.
But it's public.
Go to her public Facebook page, 312-981. You can call or text us. Maybe you follow Esmeralda publicly.
So it's something she posted on Facebook.
Recently, in the last week or so.
Okay. Is it a Mini Cooper?
No, it does not. Are we doing 20 questions?
I don't know. I just saw that post.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
No, it is not bigger than a bread box.
All right.
Oh, we are doing 20 questions for her gift. Yes. Oh, look, it's our, this is the... Hold on. I don't know why I don't have your regular page. Oh, I spelled your name incorrectly. I apologize to you and all involved. So go to Esmeralda Leon and see if there's a beauty item that you can find. By the way, I do love your hair, and this picture does make you look like you are in Destiny's Child.
It just needs to be bigger.
Taller. Volume. You need more volume
right.
to your hair. Craig, have you found the item yet? I'll see how far back it is.
Yeah.
No. All right, then. It's not,
I'm going to wait till you guys find it.
Okay. 312-981.
Is it Jimmy John's?
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, okay.
Esmeralda, do you think it's Jimmy John's?
Did I post about Jimmy John's?
Yeah, no. I post about Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah. That was last year when I was sad and lonely.
Aww.
And I was here at work because I was still doing afternoons, and I ordered Jimmy John's, and the tiny kid delivery guy had a rose because it was Valentine's
Aww.
Day. And I
was
That's
like,
smooth.
Thanks, Jimmy John's.
I got a rose from my waiter today. He's still there while I was having dinner with a friend, and he made a paper rose for me.
Well, I've never gotten a rose in my whole life for any reason.
It is not. It is also not the otter on your page, by the way. I'm not sure. Is that an otter?
Darn.
That's black back. Yeah. It is a beauty item. 312-981-7200. We do have a $25 gift card from Lou Malnati's. If you can guess what beauty product Esmeralda was pondering using because she wanted to try something to sort of perhaps for her own enhancement. 312-981-7200. She was curious about it. You don't have a picture of the product itself, but the product that it treats. Do you see now? No?
No, I'm going to let you guys figure it out.
I have a $20.
Bedazzler?
Nope. $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. 312-981-7200. Now everyone's got to go to her page.
Oh, no. I know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we're going to do this together, by the way, Esmeralda.
It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be weird because once we start telling people what it is, mm-hmm. they're going to freak out.
Okay, this is really driving me crazy.
I don't know if we should have pictures. I don't like pictures of these.
But
you know what else?
Point.
I know. You know who else doesn't like pictures of these? Robin Baumgarten from the WGN Morning News hates to see pictures of these. So what treatment is this for? What part of the body are we going to treat? We have no guesses.
Rob Martier, newsman, have you figured this out?
Well, I'm assuming it's something for the feet.
Ah, there it is.
Okay.
That's all right. Nobody called in or texted.
A foot bedazzler?
It is called Baby Foot is the name of the product. And Esmeralda was pondering it, so I followed the link. It's an extreme Japanese pedicure peel that's supposed to give you baby feet.
And
and it looks frightening. Like your feet, your skin just falls off your sheets.
And not for days. Like, it doesn't start coming. So, like, a lot of people, and by the way, people on Amazon post their results, which don't go there. Do not go to that page, because Vogue magazine does not post pictures of the results, just or during the process. But basically, you molt. You shed your skin over days, over the course of 4 to 7 days.
I'm so excited.
There was a demand for people to have baby feet. That's something we needed in this
world. Well, I have pretty funky heels. Like, they're very rough and gross.
During the winter, a lot of people develop cracked heels. I have calluses.
No, mine's all the time.
All the time.
I know, it stinks. Well, because I'm just real lazy about it.
There were some other salves I was going to send you links to that people see on Amazon were also saying is very helpful.
Right.
But then I saw the price of this and I was like, you know what? Esmeralda and I should just get it. And plus, it's lavender scented.
Sold.
Rob does not know. Oh, he was he really? Was he? Hold on. Maybe he has to give us a description of what she put on her page and then we can follow through on the win then. Hey, John, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
Very well, thank you. So you knew what the item was.
Yes, and I love the purple shoes.
There we go. So John gets a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati. She posted a link that had a pair of really cute high heel purple shoes. Did you see the link and read all the stuff that this product is supposed to do, John?
I did, and I don't know if I would actually want to put it on my feet.
I know it's a little bit. It seems a little bit daunting. It has 17 plant extracts, including AHA rich fruit enzymes, and that's supposed to. So over the course of several days, it's supposed to work its way into the dead tissue on your feet.
So excited!
Yes. All right. Thank you, John. Hold on the line, and Craig will.
All right.
Thank you, Craig will take your information. You have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's locations. All over the Chicagoland area. Yes, Craig?
I really feel like I should have guessed this now because I think you left it on top of my computer while you were running the stairs. I really feel like I should have been able to figure it out.
Yeah, baby foot. And
fine.
To be clear, it doesn't take off so much skin that they are the size of baby feet, but that they have the texture of baby feet.
Although I wouldn't mind that.
Like Deadpool's baby hand?
Oh, that was so weird.
Oh, so funny,
though.
So
you saw Deadpool.
I have seen Deadpool.
Yeah, there we go. Do you think it'll make him look bigger?
Yes, let's do all Deadpool inside jokes for the whole night.
Yeah. So there you go. But by the way, Esmeralda, this review. So the Amazon does sell it in now, Rob, this is not something that seems to be piquing your interest whatsoever, is this baby foot product.
Is this like those fish that eat your feet?
That was what I was wondering when she put the link up, because she said that it says extreme. No, this is just, they're like little booties. They're little.
I mean, it's extreme in what happens.
Yes, the extreme part is that the chemicals, the plant enzymes, I apologize, are supposed to, you soak for about an hour in these. You're supposed to first pre-soak your feet and then make sure they're very clean. And then, hold on, I'm opening this up to.
So think of, there's one way you can think about it. You know when you get sunburned and then you start peeling? It's like that. Like your skin, it's just, you're going to be peeling skin off of your feet.
Let's see.
Or if, say, you put glue, Elmer's glue on your hands. And you let it dry and then you peel it off. It's going to look like that.
Right. And then you know, I have like your foot, like your fingerprint. You can take a fingerprint with glue. Remember when we were doing that when we were kids? No.
No, I would just put it on my hands and then peel it off.
It just felt so cool.
And be like, it's my skin. But yeah, it's going to happen in real life. I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I was curious about it and I was like, well, this is something else. Because the reviews of this, Rob, like some people are talking about, you know, they didn't think it worked and it didn't seem like that big of a deal. And like 3 or 4 days later, like big chunks of layers of skin is just like falling off. So
molting.
I mean, you know, it's actually, it has piqued my interest because, you know, I like you. I mean, the feet get rough, man.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gross and you want to get them back to normalcy, I guess.
Right. And mine are really, really rough. So this, I think, will help.
And you just wear them for about an hour. They're like little jelly sleeves for your feet. So you just wear them on. What? So I'm just saying. Yeah, so the baby foot breaks down desmosomes, the proteins that bind skin cells together to release the dead skin cells from the healthy ones. And it is a cult sensation in the last year, apparently. So Esmeralda and I are joining the cult sensation.
And you say it's Japanese? Is that right? Like the Japanese in origin?
It's Japanese in origin. Mm-hmm. So the reviewer of this in Vogue magazine said that, you know, she had taken off the little gel sleeves for, by the way, she also tried them on her hands, Esmeralda. Did you read that part? She put them on like gloves. She said it was too hard, the temptation was too strong. to not see what it would do to her hands. And when she pulled it off, it was like her skin was all like rubbery and pruned, you know, like when you spend too much time in the bath.
Right.
So it looked like that. And she, and then
also, if it starts peeling, and you know, you can't really hide your hands.
No, you can hide your feet.
Just walking around and like your hands are just peeling.
Just shedding. It's just wrong. So she said that by the next morning, her the appearance of her skin was back to normal, and she didn't think about it. Nothing happened. She's like, all right, I guess that was no big deal. And for five days, Esmeralda, nothing happened. And then she was, she said she was just in a bookstore, and a huge crown of skin on her finger just sort of like, just like withdrew itself.
It's going to, like, people are going to think something's wrong with you if your hands are just... skin's shedding.
It is.
In large chunks.
She said that the days that followed were as horrifying to her boyfriend as they were like an epiphany to her. She was in a glorious stupor watching her skin just come off. She actually, by the way, those of you that are curious, she did meet with a dermatologist who said that the levels of AHA that are in the product are safe. She said that the safe concentrations top out at 10%. This has 10.2, so it's negligible how much extra there is. Yes, Craig, how are you doing?
Good. Anne just called in. She said that she doesn't want to disappoint you guys, but she got it for her sisters.
Yes.
And she was unimpressed with the amount of skin that fell off. She just thought it wasn't what she was expecting.
Maybe their feet weren't so bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go.
And she was curious if you guys wash your feet in general, I'm assuming.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I didn't know how to field that question myself.
This isn't to make your feet, to make them clean.
I figured I'd just
this is to make
guys.
Them soft.
I have okay. very clean.
Yes. I
can't. Sure. Yes. Sure you both
Man.
Do.
And I lotion.
Anne doesn't think so.
I lotion my feet all the time. Lotion, lotion, lotion. It is so very pretty late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and that's Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings coming up after midnight with The Easiest Thing I'll Ever Do, is the song you just heard. And I told you, Rob Martier, I mean, is it one of the kind of thing that someone says, don't do it, that you absolutely can't keep yourself from doing? You went, you looked at the reviews for Babyfoot.
Had you not said not to do it, I wouldn't have done it. You said not to do it, and I did it.
That's, you know what? I guess just not bringing it up, but then I don't know how to have this conversation.
I don't mind talking about the foot peel. That's fine.
Yes.
Can we talk about life before those photos and life after? Because it's completely different for
me
now.
Is this like before and after that the nose cleaner, the nose suction thing?
It's the exact same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Once a week you actually do that to me.
I find it fascinating.
Are you looking at the photos?
Well, I have already.
Can we wait real quick before we do anything else? Rob, do not look up the nose thing.
Did you ever look at the nose suction?
That's
thing?
Not that dumb.
Don't know.
No, is that the two-prong deal that you stick in your nostrils and then you squirt the stuff in there?
No, that's the that's sort of like the self
like a neti pot. What do they call those things?
Yeah, I just saw that video for the first time today. Have you seen this, Craig?
Oh God,
you've never done the neti pot?
I've done the
Patty
neti pot.
Neti pots constantly.
I do not constantly, not like during the show.
No, not then.
Okay, let's take a step back. Let's take these one at a time. Which one do you want to do first, Craig? Do you want to go back to the nose bulb cleaning out your baby's snot?
Oh God!
Oh, but I've done that.
Yeah,
I have four kids, man. Oh, I'm doing all the time.
Okay, Craig. I don't think he was here for this. Let's go back to
You weren't. You weren't here for this actual thing.
Let's start here.
Right.
So it's a nasal suction, right? But you put one end in your mouth, Rob.
Yeah, you suck it out.
See? But there's a thing that stops it from going all the way, right?
Well, you know how those things can break sometimes.
In theory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But then again, it is your kid, so it's really your own
No,
smile.
That is not. That's not a sentence.
It is called it's called the Nose Frida Nasal Aspirator, and there are videos on YouTube that if you want to understand it better, if perhaps you are an expectant parent and you've heard about this. John Tatey asked for this. I did send him one in his pack for his pre-baby arrival. What do you call it? Baby shower gifts?
Oh, my God.
Rob, no!
Unbelievable. Come on. 1995, so you can suck the boogers out of your kid's nose?
1549.
This thing is gross.
It's only $15.49 at Target.
Wait, is that what you're concerned about, Rob?
Yeah. Is the price? Yes.
No, I'm just saying. I'm looking at the picture.
But you were so dismissive. You're like, I've done that before. Not this.
No, with the bulby thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just...
It should come out of like a ceiling, like if you know, like a the airbags on a plane.
In the
case of a baby's nose filling up, like this tube should come down from the ceiling. Put one end in your mouth, put the other end in your baby's nose.
I don't know what noise Rob just made, by the way.
That one?
Yeah, there was a swooshing motion to his.
It's also called a snot sucker.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's doctor-developed, doctor-recommended nasal aspirator.
Okay, do you think people ignore the whole baby part of this? And if like somebody's really plugged up, do you think they ask a friend to do it?
hey, could you a little help?
Yeah.
Could you... This would be great. You know when
you use the snot snucker on me, man?
You know when someone goes, you got a little something right there?
Oh, God.
If they just carried around their own tube, let me help you out with that.
Bro, let me get that
for you. Hey, bro, you got a little bat in the cave. Haven't you ever like ended a lunch with somebody and went, really? No one could have told me about that?
Yes.
But if you had a friend that was willing to suck the snot.
We would never be able to talk about that again. That would be the last day I hung out with that friend.
See, and on the One Step Ahead website, where it has a nice little description of this baby comfy nose nasal aspirator.
Yes.
Both mother and baby have huge smiles on their faces, which is totally a misrepresentation. Your kid would be screaming his full head off.
Rob, if you go to YouTube, there are many demonstrations of this. Some of them are fathers, actually. There was one.
Do not go to YouTube, Rob. Do not
go to YouTube.
Good.
So that was that's one aspiration. Aspirator?
Aspirator.
By the way, the manufacturer recommends this product for baby to 9 years old. So I no longer have to suck the snot out of my children's noses. They have now passed the age of snot sucking.
Is that one of those things where, like, you see the kid that maybe is breastfeeding a little bit too long, like 8 or 9 years old, and they're still getting the snot sucked out?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's probably too long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Wonder if it's dishwasher safe. I'm just wondering.
What else were we going to talk about?
Neti Pots. You wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
So Neti Pot. Again, this is another product maybe people are not familiar with. This is good for anyone who suffers from any sort of like, if you have allergies, if you tend to have sinus pressure, ahead of it. This is good for getting ahead of it. When you start feeling a scratchy throat coming on, you should Neti Pot. And there are different ways to do this. I actually use the, I think it's called like Medi, like Nose Medi. Sinu Med is the one I use. It's actually a squirt bottle rather than the Neti Pot. A Neti Pot looks like a little genie. Isn't it like a little teapot? Does anybody else on the show use this?
Yes. I use it.
So you mix a saline combination. You're supposed to use distilled water to be safe. And I do it where I lean over a sink. And it's hard to explain, but you pour it in one nostril and let it fall out of your mouth and the other nostril.
No, I mean, it can fall out of your mouth, but usually it just falls out of your nose.
Rob should have his microphone open.
Rob Martier, what is wrong? What's wrong? He's having a Roger Badish moment. He looked apoplectic back
then. It's great. I really like it.
It does. The water does flow through one nostril and then the other, right?
Rob, what are you responding to? The snot sucker or the Neti Pot? Which one are you?
I was familiar with the Neti Pot's function. I didn't realize that it came out the other nostril and your mouth.
Your mouth.
Sometimes.
Depending.
Yes. Yeah, it just depends how your head is turned.
Then what is that thing that I've seen advertised on TV where you actually have got
breathe.
Things going at once?
Yes.
I'm not sure. Up there.
Yeah, that seems a little unsanitary. So I have seen this video, and I'm not sure. I just saw it today for the first time peripherally. I was at a meeting, and there were TV monitors on, and the person I was with was looking at it, and he was saying, can you believe these actors just full-on shove that in their nose for this video, for this demonstration? So I looked over, and it looked kind of like a little humidifier with like an opening that they kind of shove in their nostril.
It looks like a the thing when people take oxygen?
I don't
and it,
know.
It's just like a little thing they hold up to their...
No, this looks like a big... It looks like an apparatus, some sort of like a big thing of water that they're just sort of putting their nose at one opening of
it. But it has steam?
Maybe.
Or vapor or whatever?
I don't know.
Because if it is what you're talking about, it's just a thing that just lets out steam.
Nasal ear... Okay, so I use the Sinu Med. That's the one I use. It's with a water bottle. It's like a squeeze bottle, so you don't have to like tip the Neti Pot into
that's
it.
That's crazy to me because you got to like really push it.
No.
And it shoves up your nose.
You gently squeeze it and it goes up your nose and comes out the other nostril or mouth.
I think the Neti Pot is a lot less harsh.
Aggressive?
Right.
I was proud of myself for taking Theraflu And sometimes I have a nice cup of Theraflu, and that's, you know, I feel better.
That stuff is disgusting, by
it is
the way.
Terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's awful.
The saline rinse is really good for keeping your vocal cords moisturized and also keeping, like, if you get any dust, dirt, any sort of allergens in your sinus passages.
Right.
It's not for everyone, and you do have to do it carefully, but there are apparently a lot of videos also on YouTube. I would never have thought, like, Steve really, really hates when I do it in the kitchen. He would.
What?
I do it sometimes because sometimes if Griffin's in the bathroom and I have to do my Sinumed. I'm like, can I?
You know what the best? I don't know.
The shower would be the best place to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with Steve on this one.
No, I don't know if you can do this with the squeeze bottle, but mm-hmm. with the neti pot. So you tip it in and it goes down, but you can also, I do it towards the end when mm-hmm. I know I'm finishing.
Right.
And I snort up.
Yes.
Some of the water.
They actually recommend this, Craig. To
it
sort
is
of,
so satisfying.
The last bit, they kind of tell you if you can handle it to just sniff it in. And then so that you can...
It goes to other spots.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then you gotta spit out the gunk.
Yeah. Then you have to...
But it's so satisfying. It's... Blowing your nose and spitting out whatever's in there.
Sometimes things are removed from your sinus passageways that are quite impressive.
From the 312, OMG! You guys lost me. It sucked the snot out of your kids.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Neti potting, and I would say maybe Esmeralda can back me up on this. It's like with all due respect to anyone who is in the military, it feels a little bit like I'm giving myself water torture.
Really?
A little bit.
I don't mind it sometimes.
Like sometimes I'm like, and I'm like, I don't. Why am I doing this to myself? I know everything. I know. Stop, please stop. I'll tell you everything, but you already know it. More after this on 720 WGN. That's Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings with Waitin' on the Other Shoe to Drop. And something just occurred to me. They're going to be up right after midnight playing live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Music Monday. Craig, I just realized something. You know how we keep making fun of Governor Rauner for dropping his G's? Maybe he's an aspiring blues musician.
That makes a bunch of sense now.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's trying. Maybe that's what he's doing.
Right. Maybe he doesn't even really care about the office he's got. Maybe it's all just to further his blues career.
Or he's channeling that
you're
right? Like he's feeling the pain of the state. And it's kind of like his speeches are actually a blues jam without the chords.
Maybe we get Tom to lay down some music for us and then we try to play the speech with the music later on this week. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah. I just realized that because I was listening to the music, mm-hmm. and I realized there are quite a few musicians who drop their G's.
Yeah, before we
but
let
we don't
Tom,
make fun of them.
Before we let Tom Holland leave, we're going to get some music from him, and then we'll try to pair it up with some Rauner audio.
Yeah, it just occurred to me. He's channeling the pain of the state.
You're right.
And he's
absolutely right.
That's why he's dropping his G's. I want to, I'm not sure, I know that we have Brandon C. Price coming in. I wanted to go back to a story we talked about on Friday. I know many of you have reached out and sent me some very nice messages, and I hope that, I don't know in what capacity we should go forward on this, because I want to address it. I want to keep it, okay, let me get to it. We talked a little bit about being in an abusive relationship that doesn't necessarily have bruises and scars. And of course, we also mean any sort of physically violent and dangerous situation. We hope that you can get help. I do think that there are a lot of women and men who are in abusive relationships and stay for so very many, many reasons. Esmeralda, we talked a little bit about this on Friday. I know that you were off, but I posted a link to an article on purpleclover.com. If you go to my Facebook page, you can see the link for it. And many people have been sharing it, including the Family Resources Center, and they shared the link from my page. Again, go to Patty V Show on Facebook. It's also Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We invite you to like our page and join the conversation. I am trying to separate them out so you get something different, whether you're on my Facebook friend page or Facebook for Pretty Late. But this article caught me off guard, and the response that we got also caught me off guard, because I wanted to reiterate that there are people who are in abusive relationships and they stay for a lot of different reasons. And sometimes we blame ourselves. I was in a relationship when I was very young. I was 23 years old and I was with a man. I ended up living with him who was very abusive. He was controlling. Toward the end of our relationship, I realized how much danger I was in. When I tried to leave him, he threatened to kill me and he threatened to kill himself. And I didn't doubt him for a second. He tried to keep me from leaving. We lived together, and he would repeatedly tell me to get out. out. And he used a lot of language. I can't use any of it on the air, obviously, but he would tell me to pack and get out of our house. And so I would start packing, and then he would start crying and begging me to stay, because he would tell me that it was because he loved me so much that I made him act this crazy. So I'm talking about it again because I want to make sure that people out there who are listening to us, if you're at home, if you're in the car, if you're lying in bed, and you think, no, you know, that kind of sounds like me, but he's been really nice, or she doesn't talk to me like that all the time. It can be sporadic. It can happen every once in a while. If there's a moment in your life when the person that you love treats you in a way that is abusive, that makes you feel small, that is intended to make you feel small, because sometimes we know that we kind of give up power to the person that we love, to stay with them, to not be alone. And it is extremely hard to recognize. It is hard for us to think that our pain and our suffering is worthy of asking for help. We don't feel like we should ask to protect ourselves because we're not being hit. And we think that, and speaking out seems weird. Like it sounds just sort of like silly to say, well, why didn't you just leave? A lot of it has to do with embarrassment. A lot of it does have to do with the fact that we are controlled by somebody we love. And there are so many different reasons. And one thing I do want to address, and this, again, even when I said it Friday, I felt silly. I was like, I kind of stayed because I had cats. I was afraid that he would just open the door and let my cats go. Well, I talked to a friend of ours over the weekend, Elliot Serrano, who works for the Anti-Cruelty Society. He said not only that, but sometimes abusers will harm the animals when one person leaves. And he wanted us to know that there is a program at the Anti-Cruelty Society and at many other shelters for animals where if you are trying to leave a dangerous situation, they will set up a foster program for your pet. So please, I stayed longer than I should have. I put myself in danger for much longer than I should have, emotionally and physically. So if there's anybody who wants to reach out and wants to know if there's any way we can connect you, we can. We always are here, whether it's our show, anybody at WGN, we will connect to with the resources. And I don't say that lightly. We have done it in the past. We will continue to do that. This is what we do. We're your neighbors. This is what this show is. And for those, you know, people who are like, oh, this again, we know what your neighbor ticks you off sometimes, don't they? Maybe they didn't cut the lawn this week. Well, me, you know, once in a while we say things because we're there for each other. This is me trying to be there for people. This is me, Craig, Esmeralda. Brandon C. Price joins us in the studio. We're your neighbors. And we want you to know that we're here, and we will find somebody to help you if we can't do it ourselves. So call, text us, email us. Our text here on the screen is 312-981-7200. Again, my Facebook page, Patty V Show. You can send us a private message. You can send us something to WGN Radio, to any of the shows, and say, I heard something in the middle of the night. I didn't know who that was, but I know your show. If it's not us, we will find someone to help you. And you're not alone. That's really what this show is about, not being alone. It's about, hey, I'm not the only one, whether it's abuse, whether it's music tastes or movies, or if it's raising a child with a disability, or having a parent who is elderly and suffering, or, you know, again, your neighbor who won't cut the lawn, Brandon C. Price. So I know you came in and you're like, whoa, I didn't know last week.
No, I'm always ready to go.
Politics. I know.
Well, real quick from the 630, you rock, Patty.
Oh, so do you, 630.
Yeah, you do. You rock too.
Just saying.
We all rock.
It is. It's weird. There's always a relationship we've had we've stayed in too long, but it's the ones that are emotionally scarring.
Yeah.
And I actually had I have moments like every once in a while I have like these, like, I don't know what PTSD is for someone who has been physically assaulted. I do know what it's like to have emotional. Mm-hmm. I was doing a show here before Craig was my producer, and we were in a situation where someone from that relationship who was involved in it was going to be a guest on my show, Brandon, and I full on just, I could not function. I didn't, and it had been years since I was in that situation. I didn't even see it coming. You never see it coming. So I just want you to know that you're not alone. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. Before we go to the news, I wanted to talk to Rob, who has joined us for the conversation. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. What do you want to tell us?
It's kind of weird that you're talking about this subject as I'm going through a situation with my daughter. She's 21. And she's involved with a Marine, and he started out being a really great guy. And about 2 months ago, he hasn't gotten physical with her, but the verbal abuse and the mental abuse is getting really bad. And I get the texts from her all the time, I'm leaving him. And then an hour later, oh, we worked it out, we're fine. And then the next day, I'm leaving him. And then, oh, we're fine. And her mother and I are kind of like at this point where we're like, we don't know how to, we support her if she wants to stay, if she's happy, but I don't want to support her if it's, you know, if I feel like I got to go down there and just knock the living crap out of this guy.
Right. The day that I told my dad I was leaving this guy, he goes, tell me the truth. You want me to have his legs broken? Because my dad didn't know how bad it'd gotten. And I think my parents were also afraid that they would push me away. Like there's that fear of like, you know, a child will sometimes be like, I know what I'm doing. I don't need your help. Are you getting any of that?
Yeah, a little bit. She's a little more afraid. They got a dog together, and my wife and I already have three dogs. And she's afraid that if she comes home, we're not going to take the puppy. And I'm like, no, I'll take the puppy. My wife's not happy about it, but we'll take the puppy. It's just, I think what she's afraid of is failure, and
yes,
she's afraid to admit to herself, I've made a mistake, and I keep trying to get across to her. It's like, you will make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. And sadly, this guy is a mistake. We live in, I'm listening to you down in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
But I'm originally from Chicago. And I just, you know, he's in Camp Lejeune, and I'm just going nuts because I want to say, leave this idiot, come home, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then an hour later, she's like, I think I'm going to stay. And I'm just like, oh, geez.
That's the thing about an abusive relationship, too, is that a lot of times that person will, you know, like I said, my ex-boyfriend would cry and tell me, but I love you so much, that's why I act this way. They will find ways to elevate them, to put the other person on a pedestal and, you know, in a sort of worshiping way to justify when they are bad to them or to control them, too. Rob, we're going to get your information. Can we get an email from you? And we can figure out a way to talk about this, too. And have you on again if you want to, or we can have a conversation and figure out a conversation for you to have with your daughter that feels safe for her, because it is a lot of times it is being afraid to admit you made a mistake. I agree. And you have to keep being there. You have to keep, because that's the one thing that abusers do, is they isolate the abused from their friends, from their family. They isolate them, and that is the hardest thing, and then they have nothing left. And absolutely, as far as the puppy goes, you have to tell her that the dog comes with. Tell her, I'm not taking you without the dog.
The cat's not coming home. The cat's going to go to my son's house. But
there you go. Yeah.
The dog can come home.
Yeah,
right.
She has to feel safe. Rob, thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck. And I do want to email you as soon as I get that. I'm gonna reach out to you. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Patty.
Thank you, Rob. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It's so hard to hear a dad worrying about his daughter. You are listening pretty late, and it is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are thrilled to welcome Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings. Here they are playing Easiest Thing You'll Ever Do.
Touch, miss your baby so much. Trying to get back to you, baby, ain't that hard to do. Getting back to you, baby, easiest thing I'll ever do. From town to town, feet always in the ground. Trying to get back to you, baby, ain't that hard to do. Getting back to you, baby, easiest thing I'll ever do. Clubs of the halls. Babe, I done played them all. Everything starts to look the same. Look, I even know my name. Trying to get back to you, baby. Ain't that hard to do? Getting back to you, baby. Easiest thing I'll ever do. Easiest thing I'll ever do. Easiest thing I'll ever do. Easiest thing I'll ever do.
Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings, and you can go to his website, TomHollandAndShuffleKings.com. They've got some events coming up, including February 22nd, I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, WGN Radio.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you so much for posting that. It was very nice of you. I'm guessing you're Tom?
I am.
Hi, Tom. And Hero? Yeah. Hold on one second, make sure. Do I have his microphone too? Welcome to our studio. Do you have a, let's see. No, I don't think you do. Come sit down. He's like, I didn't want to talk. Do you not want to talk to me? Yeah, you can sit down. There you go. Use that one. Hello. Which one is that? 4-2? What do we got? How about, let me see now. Nope.
I think the bomb has to
check
turn it
1-2.
There it is.
2-2.
Nice.
1-2.
Yeah, that was so funny. I think that's my favorite mic check. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I don't let him talk very often.
Do you not want to talk? You don't let him, or he doesn't like to?
I don't really like to.
Why not?
I'm here to play.
So am
asking
I.
Asking a person who just said I don't like to talk, why not? Is kind
why not?
Of
like, why not?
Could you talk about why you don't like to talk?
Yeah, could you talk about why? Yeah, why not? Why can't I? It's a talk show. There's nothing I can do when someone says I don't like to talk. I got nowhere to go from there, except to turn his mic off, and I don't like to do that. I like to leave all channels of communication open, including uncomfortable, awkward questions. I'm going to do all that. Hi, Hero. He's like, because I'm just gonna play.
Let's ask him a whole bunch of uncomfortable questions.
I know.
Keep diving in there.
Here, but I can make it easy. Where are you from originally?
Japan, Kobe, Japan.
Kobe, Japan. Yeah. And how long have you lived in Chicago?
I've been here since '94.
Okay. Yeah. Are you pleased with our city? You've been here long enough to come up with an opinion. Pass judgment on us. Tell us what you think.
Music wise, this is really good city.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I love the music in our city. Brandon C. Price is also a musician and comedian performer. And I'm so thrilled to have an opportunity to be able to invite musicians in studio.
Yeah.
How did you find Tom?
I think I might have found him.
No, we both played at the same club, different days.
Okay.
But for years. So
eventually. Ships passing in the night.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we ran into each other.
There you go. Very cool. Yeah. Well, it seems you guys make incredible music together.
Oh,
Tom, where are you from originally?
Born and raised in Chicago.
Come on a little bit closer to your microphone, if you don't mind. Thank
there
you very
go.
Much. What part of town?
Beverly.
Oh, Southside.
Oh, yeah.
So, see, I love when Southsiders actually say their neighborhood. Some people just say Southside.
And in my limited experience on this show, it seems like people from the Southside will instantly tell you their neighborhood. Anyone from the north suburbs is like, oh, this is the Chicagoland area.
Well, because they're also the suburbs, the city of Chicago. Or even, I would say, I guess, yeah, a lot of Northsiders. Like, a lot of Northsiders aren't going to say Wrigleyville.
Oh, yeah.
They'll say Lakeview. I think they'll say, I say Norwood Park. That was my name growing up.
Exactly.
Where'd you go to school?
High school.
Whatever school you want to tell me about. You pick.
Well, I mean, I didn't do college. Music was my college.
Amen.
But I went to Mount Carmel High School.
Okay. We have a lot of friends of mine went to Mount Carmel. So. We won't go into the, hey, do you know so-and-so? It's like thousands of people graduate. I went to Lane Tech, and I'm like, you know 5,000 people went there
exactly.
one time at any given time. What was your first instrument that you played?
In grade school, I played trumpet for a little bit.
That had to be
saxophone.
Fun. Did you wake up your parents with that?
Oh, I'm sure.
It's a little morning, rise and shine.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, the guitar came along, and that was what really annoyed the parents.
What were the first songs? Because my son Griffin is 12 years old, and he likes to play. Like, what he's learning all the things his instructor will work with him on. But then he likes to take, you know, he's doing soundtracks. Like, he loves doing maybe Star Wars or Muppets music. What were some of the early songs that you, like, weren't taught, but you wanted to be able to play and master?
You know, honestly, I saw Eddie Van Halen on MTV, and I was like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then I was... begged them for a guitar, got a guitar, and you know.
And the rest is history?
Well, a little bit, you know. It's one of those where, you know, you beg for it, and then it goes under the bed for six months.
But still, it seems like it picked it up again at some point.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think it was freshman year in high school. I busted my finger, and while it was healing, I was like, oh, let's take that guitar
back. That's always a good time. Why don't you go ahead and stress that injury a little bit?
You know.
We're going to take a quick break in just a moment. But, Hiro, before we do, what was your first instrument that you started playing?
Bass and guitar at the same time.
Both at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of music were you drawn to? What were your influences?
Blues.
Blues?
Yeah.
I can hear some. It's really some great music you guys play.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll hear more from Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We are enjoying Music Monday on Pretty Late in the Allstate Showcase studio. I forgot to ask what song you were playing next. So it makes it a little
bit... Waiting on the Other Shoe to Drop.
Oh, Waiting on the Other Shoe to Drop. Here is Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings. So cool. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. That life, really, so always, truly. Always. And you guys are playing tomorrow night in Highwood at the Wooden Nickel. That's you're going to be guest hosting the jam with Ari Mintz and Mickey Thomas.
Yep.
And then you've got a lot of gigs coming up this month. You play at Shaw's Crab House right here?
Yep. I was actually at Shaw's earlier tonight with Matthew Scholar.
Mm-hmm.
And then rest of the band will be there on Thursday night.
How big's the band?
Four-piece band.
Okay.
Two guitars, bass, and drums.
That's all you need. That's all you need. And then coming up on the 27th, House of Blues Back Porch Stage, and that's going to be a solo gig?
Yep, the early set, I think 6:30 to
8:45. I'm going
to
tell you your whole schedule.
There you go.
I'll put it in my calendar. I'll link you in. And everyone can go to TomHollandShuffleKings.com for information about their gigs and actually book them for a gig. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful. That'd be awesome.
And Patty gets a commission. Any gigs that get booked from this?
No. It's just our pleasure to. We love having.
I owe you a ton of money.
Just wait.
You can always give that money to producer Craig. He'll take any commissions.
I think all of this is illegal conversation that we are having currently. We don't operate that way. We just we do each other favors.
Yeah, but there's a first time for everything.
I think again the lawyers would disagree.
This is probably true. That's why we're saying right now publicly that no donations to Craig.
No, all donations to Craig.
Uh-huh.
Wait,
no donations.
Void this check real quick.
So don't do that. And then, again, you can see their schedule that's up for February, March, April, and May, and more gigs to be announced as well. And can they also purchase some of your music here?
They can also purchase music there, and it's also available on iTunes, I think Amazon, pretty much all of the digital music spots.
Did you hear my speculation that perhaps, have you heard Governor Rauner ever give a speech? He doesn't use any of his G's.
Oh, yeah, he drops the G's.
I know,
all the
time. But maybe he's a blues artist at heart.
Could be.
I'm just saying, maybe that's what it is.
But I have yet to see a blues artist that actually cops to being a Republican.
that's another interesting point that you have there. Although I never really hear blues artists to be very political. I mean, like they're never trying to influence anybody in any way either.
Stay out of the politics.
The G-dropping musicians that are political are all the Republican country western stars. So they got you covered.
There you go.
We had a caller, Jim, call in real quick saying he's been listening to New Music Monday for a while, and this is, without any hyperbole, the best band he's ever heard. Way to go, guys.
We've had so many great musicians, and here's the thing, is that that's why I love doing this or something for everybody, and I would have to agree, you are amongst the best.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Brandon will tell you, he's seen all the music.
I'm very lucky to get to host on the music days.
Oh, yeah.
Hop in and hang out, because I get to hear everything, and... Yeah, some people come in. Everyone is awesome that comes in. Yeah. There are levels of awesome.
This is a good level of awesome.
This is a good level of awesome.
Beautiful thing.
And I think it's also something that's appealing to so many different people, right? Regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your music, from what I've heard, the several songs that you've played, and we've heard some of the CDs, we've had that. I mean, there's nobody that hasn't been like, waiting for the other shoe to drop. What next?
Yep.
You know?
I will also say selfishly that Bob makes everybody sound great, but in studio, when there's a full drum kit right here, it gets like, all right, are we sound checked? Are we good?
What's it sound like to everybody else?
Because
when the drummer comes in, it's Advil Monday.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. And I think to your point is that we get the opportunity to hear the vocals and the guitar and bass really well. It's beautiful music. So enjoyed it. And look forward to coming to see you live as well. Oh, and look on your website, we can find out more about the other musicians who are not here. You have a harp in your band?
I had.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me update your website for you.
Yeah, there you go.
So the harp is no longer with us. That's good to know. That seems appropriate.
He's got a day job, and he can't live the lifestyle of a musician much anymore.
Oh, there you go.
We're referring to a blues harp, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. At first, I was just like,
I know. I see somebody with a big, like with wings and stuff. And
I
always have a smoke
machine. I get the harp out, when I can afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good to know.
Tuning those are terrible.
Yeah, if you're a parent and you're thinking I should make my kid take piano or something, make them take harp.
Harp.
Because they're financially, so you do one wedding gig a month and then you're done. Then you play whatever instrument you want.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they make a ton of money because nobody plays harp.
Yep. They've cornered the market.
312-981-72 harp.
Oh, we got to get our phone number changed now. 312-981-HARP.
Nobody has numbers and letters on their phone anymore.
Yes, they
do.
They? We talked about this last week.
They have letters.
They have yours.
It's doesn't.
There. 312-981-7200. Call or text us if you or someone you know plays the harp. I now need a harp in the studio. I'm going to need a harp player. That has to, Craig. You know, we
you
had
know
clarinets.
Yeah, you know the way I respond to this. I'm going to get an all harp band.
Yeah, we have had an all clarinet band in the past. I now need a harp. A harpist. And they have to be called
you
harpists.
Get the mouth harp and the blues harp and the harp harp.
We're going to harp happy.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do here. Craig's really trying to wrap his mind around that. Do we have a break?
I don't want to get mouth harp. But yeah, no break. We go straight to the
Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and we have Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings, and they are about to sing More Things Change.
Yeah.
Here they are. That's Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings. Go to their website, tomhollandandshufflekings.com. And it's funny. Actually, this is absolutely appropriate because the more things change, the more they stay the same.
That's right.
There's a lot of people who can identify with a wonderful event that's coming up. I'm reading this whole thing on ferrisfest.com. Joining me on the line is David Blanchard, who is the organizer. Correct, Mr. Blanchard? David?
Yes. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. I just linked over to the Eventbrite.com portion of this. Tell us a little bit about one. Let's start with when this is. When is Ferris Fest starting?
Okay. Well, it's starting. First thing I want to tell you is my voice is a little bit shot because I've been talking to so many people for the last couple of days because this entire event went viral and it's kind of become sort of globally known, starting in Chicago. So. We're going to be having this on May 20th through the 22nd. It's going to be pretty amazing. It's grown from a little idea that I had about a year ago where I was just thinking to myself, it'd be kind of cool to go to Chicago and because I've been there before to see like some of the places where the movie was shot, and suddenly I'm like, why is nobody doing a 30th anniversary? And then the idea came up, me and a couple of friends were like, we should maybe think about doing something. So that was kind of where it was born.
Well, and you've got a lot of great events planned. When obviously there's a screening, so everyone can be in the mood. Now, is that the way you're kicking it off? You sort of have you see the movie. You've got some of the cast members, actually, the French maitre d', Cindy Pickett's also, is that her name, the mom?
Yes, yeah, Cindy Pickett and Lyman Ward are Ferris Bueller's parents, and Jonathan Schmock is the snooty, snotty maitre d' from the French restaurant scene. They're going to be there. Richard Roper, Chicago Zone, is going to be moderating the Q&A. And we're working on getting more stars in the film. Excuse me, we're going all the way up to the top. So
right.
We are trying to.
I am Facebook friends with Alan Ruck. I will say that. I don't know that I.
Uh-huh.
That's about as far as I've gotten, huh?
Right. We're working on getting him as well. So we're kind of chipping away at everybody that we don't have yet to entice them to come. So we're hoping that certainly how large and wide that the news has been about our event will hopefully convince them.
Exactly. Well, you're off to a great start. So you're going to have a viewing with a Q&A at the John Hughes, and this is at the theater, the John and Nancy Hughes Theater, which is supported by the Hughes family. That's where the screening is going to be.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, there's I understand there's going to be some of the members of the family are going to be there in attendance. When you were asking me about if we're kicking off at the screening, no, screening is going to be Saturday night on May 21st.
Okay.
May 20th is, that's at night. May 20th, we're going to be having a sort of a, what would you call it, opening ceremonies to get things kicked off. We're going to have some music groups there. More details about that's going to be revealed soon. We're actually already lining up a couple of certain red Ferraris that are going to be there as well, and they're going to be around for the entire weekend.
Oh, what do you got to do to get a ride in one of the red Ferraris?
We're working on that. We're probably going to be giving that away as a little VIP prize. Not right yet, but soon we will.
Oh, very cool.
And then the sort of wrapped around the movie screening, the Q&A, which is Saturday night, we're going to have a two-day, two-part filming locations tour going all the way from Northbrook all the way down into downtown Chicago. And it's kind of going to be that for both days. You know, everyone will get on the buses and start at Lake Forest, and then we go to Northbrook, some of the other areas, and then down through Chicago and, you know, the Art Museum, Willis Tower. And I still call it Sears Tower myself.
Oh, yeah. No. We do, too. We appreciate that. It is highly encouraged. Cameron's House, is that going to be one of the stops?
Cameron's House is going to be one of the stops, yes. And we are going to have one of the Ferraris there as well. That does not mean that we're going to have it inside. We're certainly hoping to contact the owners there. We've been sort of trying to do that to see if we might be able to kind of get in the driveway a little bit or maybe sort of gain some access. But, you know, certainly out of respect, we don't want to do that without permission. So we're definitely going to go there and certainly, you know, have the red Ferrari there. And some surprises. There's going to be some surprises, basically, just about every stop we make.
Well, and you got to figure people had to be bothering them for years after the movie was made trying to find where that house was in the woods.
Oh, I'm sure, exactly. And it was on the market for a while, too. It was a couple of years, so.
Yeah.
I was like, man, if I had the box, I'd be there right in 2 seconds. But, yeah. So.
Okay, so you're going to have this event is happening over 3 days, from Friday through Sunday.
Yes.
You're also going to have a two-day, two-part bus tour of the locations. How are you recreating the parade scene with a little twist and shout?
This is a big question that everybody has for us, and that is we've had a lot of emails of people asking, where is the parade going to be, because we don't have it locked down yet. We are in talks with the city of Chicago right now. We would love to have it, but I stress nothing is definite yet. We would love to have it at the exact location where it takes at Dearborn Street, where it takes place in the film.
Uh-huh.
We'd love to do it up there. We need to sort of continue talks with the city about that. Hopefully that'll happen. If for some reason or other it's too cumbersome, or maybe it doesn't quite work out so that everybody has the best time ever, we absolutely are going to have it in Lake Forest, right by the Gorton Community Center. So the town will kind of, you know, and we're going to be talking with them. So the town is going to be kind of hosting that parade. So, yes.
This all sounds like a lot of fun. The thing I always liked about Ferris Bueller's Day Off when I was a kid was seeing my city. You know who does not like this movie? Not one bit, not one little bit, Craig. Do you know who really, really dislikes this movie very much?
The guy after us?
Nick DiGilio really dislikes it. For me, I had a kind of a crush. I mean, like, if you had a crush on one of the actors, you're kind of all in. And Matthew Broderick could not have been more adorable. Breaking the fourth wall, I was blown away. I was a kid. I'm like, what is he doing? But there was, I think that's what a lot of us, were drawn to. Obviously, it had this sort of high suspension of disbelief. The whole movie, gets really ridiculous. But I don't know. I love the humor of it.
I dreamed of building that Rube Goldberg-esque machine to fake being sick. You know what I mean? You only can cry wolf so many times.
Well, speaking of which, you also, David, you also have somebody who has recreated the entire bedroom, including the mannequin and computer, yes?
Yes, we have an artist, designer, who is up in Canada. He's going to be coming down. She did this for a hotel up in Toronto, and I just happened upon the information about her creating it and just looking at photos and everything and some videos, and I was just completely blown away at how meticulously perfect it is. It's walking right into the film. So we are going to have that. We definitely are going to have it downtown. We thought about having it up Lake Forest, and we're like, this thing is really blowing out, so we want to have it in downtown Chicago. It's going to be at a downtown Chicago hotel that we're probably going to announce in a few days. So that everybody, we didn't want to have it. So, it's great to have things up in Lake Forest, but this room is getting so much response, and certainly we're selling a lot of tickets for everything, especially the room. And we want to have it so it's easily accessible for the entire city.
So everyone,
downtown.
All of this information, by the way, if you're curious, is at ferrisfest.com. And there are links to tickets, to locations, and there's also information about the actors. Lyman Ward, who played the dad. Jonathan Schmock, who was the snooty French maitre d'. And Cindy Pickett, who played mom. Is there are any of these Chicago actors, or these are folks that are flying in for the event?
Everyone is flying in from the event. I believe Jonathan is in New York. Yes, he's coming from New York, and Cindy and Lyman are out this way in Los Angeles, which of course is where I am.
And then you also have Richard Roper, who is lined up to host the screening on Saturday night, and a little bit of Q&A and things like that. That'll be fun. Very cool.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And as I said, we certainly have more people that we're in the midst of contacting and sort of luring in to do this, and I think we are going to get some more faces that are really going to entice and entertain people.
Again, what I've always loved is really just the postcard that it was. You got Wrigley. Are you gonna, now? Are there any Cubs games that weekend? I'm guessing that's a little bit harder to arrange.
No, there's no Cubs game going on that weekend. The funny thing is, I'm basing this on one of my co-organizers who had mentioned, he said, I checked into it, there's no game going on there, and I just took his word for it. So I believe that's correct. There is no game going on that weekend. We have to talk with them. I began a discussion a little bit with them about, certainly we want to come in there and we want to go to the seats, if they're still there. I believe that they are still there because I know the renovation is going on.
Right. They weren't in the bleachers. Were they under? They were under the upper deck, weren't they? I can't remember what baseline they were along.
No, they were on the third baseline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had pretty decent seats, if I recall correctly. Yeah, some of the bleachers have been moved around. But no, this is this will be very fun, especially for people who love the movie, people who love Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Get to see different parts of it. Maybe, maybe you don't go up to Northbrook or go to the Sears Tower very often, and everything in between.
Right, exactly. And, of course, everything's going to be geared towards, appreciation for the movie. And, it's going to be an adventure. We're going to have little things along the way, and certainly we're going to have clips from the movie as we go to each location to kind of play up. It's great to see the scene from the movie, and then you roll up, and there's the location. And, as I said, we're going to have some surprises along the way and some interaction, recreating scenes from the movie. So it's not just going to be, hey, we roll in, well, here it is, here's the school, and here's this, and,
Right, you want to be kind of, you want to immerse yourself into the experience sort of
exactly.
In the moment.
And that's what we want to do. It's not just sort of like drive by, there it is, hi, okay.
Oh, believe me, hey, you're talking to a girl who drove out of her way to go where they filmed Field of Dreams so I could run the base pass. So, I have a friend of mine fall off the bleachers and pretend he was choking on a hot dog. So I'm all in on stuff like this.
Nice. I've actually been there a number of times, and I have a lot of friends in Iowa who live in that town. So, yeah.
It's a fun stop, by the way, for anybody else who's
wondering. It's a great stop. It's a great stop. I love that place. It's literally, that's one of the places that's literally like walking right into the movie.
It really is.
Car, mm-hmm. And there it is. And you hear, you know, like the crickets, you hear the wind going through the grass, and it's just...
Well, again...
That's, I really appreciate that. When you go to a place which is, you know, it's not like, oh, this is just a facade, and they put it up in the movies. Like, it's a real place, and it feels like you're really sort of stepping into the film.
Exactly. So, you were going to say something,
Brandon? I was just going to ask if this was heaven.
It was Iowa.
You're right. No, it's Shermer, Illinois.
Yeah. And that's, and again, that's the thing about Ferris Fest. It'll be fun to sort of, you know, because it's Chicago. I mean, really, it's getting to explore and see that, you know, this was filmed here. This is where the parade was. This is where they,
right.
You know, obviously the, I believe the observation deck at Sears Tower is a little bit different. But
yeah.
Exciting. Very cool.
Yeah, sky deck and everything. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I know we're in the midst right now of adding, you know, more elements to it. So we're going to be making more announcements, which you see on the schedule is you know, that's we're absolutely doing all of that. But there's little you know, aspects and little treats here and there that we're going to be still adding. So.
Well, yep. We want to catch up with you next month. Let us know about some of the elements that get added. And if everybody else, go to ferrisfest.com to keep track of the events as they unfold. Thank you so much, David Blanchard. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And hopefully see you guys when we're in town. That'd be great.
Oh, that'd be perfect. All right. Have a great night. Go rest your voice, will you? You know why?
I will.
All right, because it's getting pretty late. Okay. More after this on 720 WGN. We're really enjoying Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio with Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings. Here they are with Long Road to Tomorrow. Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings. You can go to TomHollandAndShuffleKings.com. They are playing tomorrow at the Wooden Nickel in Highwood, Illinois, Friday night at the Blues House of Blues, Black Porch.
Friday night, Buddy Guys.
Buddy Guys, Friday nights.
Yep.
That's not on your website.
No, I just picked that up.
Oh, you're just throwing things around
I
now.
Know.
Did you just book it during the last gig, like the last break?
Yes.
That was
people are calling in and demanding it.
You
exactly.
must see them at the house. So that's Buddy Guys on Friday night.
Buddy Guys
house
on of, Friday.
House
and
of Blues,
House
Back
Blues
Porch.
On Saturday.
All right. So yep. wait, Buddy Guys on. So maybe I can go Friday night then.
There you
go.
9
Craig,
o'clock start.
Craig can go. I can go Friday. We can go before the show, Buddy. Although we have Sarah Broad. We have so many things to do. Sarah from the
Sarah
dance
Bernhardt.
Club. Sarah Bernhardt. Bernhardt. Barnhart. Barnhart?
Yes.
Okay. I've heard it both ways. Mostly the correct
she has
way.
To.
Yes. So Buddy Guys on Friday at 9 o'clock because Sarah's got a show in Edison Park at 8. It's going to be tough to run back and forth. I'm figuring this out. I'm gonna figure it out. I think I'm
but
go.
It's a, we're doing an opener, so it's 9 to 10 and then...
And
on
you're
to
opening
the next whiskey bar.
All right,
and they're on iTunes too. I literally just downloaded this album while I was listening to that last song. So check that out. No fluff, just the stuff.
That's correct.
There you go. No fluff. Here, speaking of fluff and no stuff. Wait a minute. Steve Cochran and Ro Khan have done a pretty good job of sort of encapsulating what's going on with the political campaign, and we were wondering what Steve his thoughts are on Donald Trump recently.
Tomorrow.
Do you know this? Huh?
Today, in an effort to try to back off and to give you an opportunity yourself to pause now and to hear Donald Trump in his own words, we're going to give you that. Some of you may have seen Meet the Press yesterday. For those of you who didn't, Trump was the first guest for Chuck Todd after his big win in South Carolina. And he rolls into the Nevada caucuses now with a chance to really get ahead of steam going and to get the delegate count pumped up. Again, keeping in mind that it's not just about winning the election. You have to be able to do the job. And if you're looking for a near-term example, President Obama won the election, couldn't work with Congress at all. A lot of that's Congress's fault. A lot of that's President Obama's fault. How much truly got done because of that? Not enough. Not enough, not a lot. As a matter of fact, this Congress, the previous Congress, and the Congress before that were among the most inactive and least successful. So you have to be able to do the job. So let's listen to Trump. Chuck Todd with Donald Trump yesterday, first on Obamacare.
I want, we're gonna repeal and replace Obamacare. Obamacare is a total and complete disaster. It's going to be gone. We're going to come up with a great health care plan, whether it's health care savings accounts, we had a lot of different things. We're going to get rid of the lines between states. We're going to have great competitive bidding. But I say all the time, you can call it anything you want. People are not going to die in the middle of the street. Right. People are not going to die on the sidewalk if I'm president.
Well, let me get something definitive
I
from
say
you
that,
on this.
Chuck, I say that,
right.
I say that to packed houses with thousands and thousands of people,
yep.
Republicans mostly, and I get standing ovations. I'm not going to let that happen. If I'm president, we're not going to have people dying on the streets. So you can call it whatever you want.
No, I understand
I don't call
that.
It a mandate.
Well, let me ask you
I
this.
I just say it's common sense.
Okay, listen, we're close to the news here. We bring you the news every day. Have I missed a lot of people dying in the streets?
When he said the dying in the streets part, that was odd. I know he hates Obamacare. He wants to repeal it.
But
he
people
said
aren't
that.
Dying in the streets.
Some people have died in the streets. I don't know if it's a direct result of Obamacare, but...
I think a lot of people are dying in the streets, and we're not getting the word.
It was bizarre.
Donald Trump, in his own words, Howard Stern interviewed Donald Trump back in 2002 about the Iraq war, whether or not we should invade. Remember, in 2002, we had not invaded yet. Here's that.
We have an idea who the enemy is, and a lot of times the politicians don't want to tell you that.
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess so. I wish the first time it was done correctly.
Now, clearly, you didn't sound like an enthusiastic supporter of the war. But I am curious of the second part of that quote. The first time I wish the first time it was done correctly. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is it almost shouldn't have been done. And, I really don't even know what I mean because that was a long time ago. And who knows what was in my head.
I really don't even know what I mean. Who knows what I meant? It was a long time ago, and who knows what was in my head.
That kind of sums up the entire candidacy. But I have been trying to understand, so I wanted to hear a little bit of what Steve thought, a little bit of what Donald Trump's words are. So we continue to try to wrap our arms and our minds around what the appeal is, so that many of our listeners who I know are fans of Donald Trump, because I think part of it comes from, and they keep telling us, you keep telling us, that you're not being heard, you are feeling frustrated. So we're listening. We're your neighbor. We're having a conversation. We're just, you know, sometimes we're going to tick each other off. I try not to be disrespectful of your opinions. We can disagree. We can agree to disagree. But right now we have to agree that it's time for the news.
Come on, boys, take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time.
I feel bad because Bob Ferguson did such a great job making sure that Tom Holland and the Shuffle Kings sounded amazing. And and there we are. Those are our trumpeteers. And
let's not call them our trumpeteers.
Trumpeteers.
Yeah.
And so going back to the beginning of the candidacy, when Donald Trump announced that he would be running for the highest office in the United States, I have always taken him seriously, whether or not I sound like I'm being dismissive or don't have I can't wrap my mind around it. But it occurred to me last week in a conversation with many people who aren't necessarily fans of his, but kind of get where people are coming from, including our very own Duffy, who was saying, you know, you don't understand. You don't get it. And I'm not sure if that's the kind of tact that anybody, I mean, like everybody could say that about everybody else. You don't understand, you don't get it. I don't know that I will, but I do think that we need to have an open conversation, which is why we invited listeners last week. Mike and Ann in particular called. And I was actually accused of perhaps being a little condescending with Anne, when really I just was trying to give her space without being confrontational with her. So whatever the tone was not intended. It was the first time.
You didn't sound.
But
no,
but I. But I'm saying I'm learning as I go.
Right.
We've talked about this before. I still am coming up with my opinion as I'm talking.
Well, and you're doing that because
none of us are done.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're doing that because you respect everyone who calls in and everyone who gives their opinion. You allow it to be something that you didn't. Then decide if you agree with or not. That's an open way to have a conversation, Patty.
Exactly.
So good job.
Oh no, I'm not worried about the good job.
I'm proud of our show, and I'm proud of you. The other day when you took a call, that had the roles been reversed, and had I been sitting in your chair, and I did jump in and say something to Anne, it was difficult to hear some people that you really disagree with. So I think you've done an exceptional job.
Because I think that their opinions are important. Because look, we all have the opportunity to one call and talk. Brandon C. Price and everybody else, 312-981-7200. I think the more we hear why you support somebody or what's important to you, I think is actually, because I hear for me what's important is women's health. So when I see the defunding of Planned Parenthood, I get very nervous, because I know personally I am affected, because I was rescued. I was saved by Planned Parenthood when I had abnormal cells that were removed and biopsied. It was a place that charged me $117. I remember exactly, because I was like, okay, I can afford. I didn't have health insurance at the time. I assure you there are many women in your life, whether they have talked about it or not, they have been helped by Planned Parenthood. 3% of what they do may be something that is a medical procedure that you don't agree with, that you don't think that someone should have. There, nonetheless, it is a medical procedure to have an abortion. That is something that is available, and some women choose to do that, and it's none of our business. But that's where I come from. By the way, Donald Trump has said that he changes his mind. He changes his mind about whether or not he supports a woman's right to choose, whether or not he supports Planned Parenthood. And I have to say, going back to the previous one, Herman Cain once said he was pro-life and pro-choice. And that I agree with. I wish that nobody ever had to choose. I wish that women didn't have to have an abortion, whether it was because of a medical situation where their lives were in danger or the baby was not viable. Or I wish that there were women who were not raped and as a result were faced with a pregnancy that they did not want to have and wanted to terminate. I wish there were women who didn't have unprotected sex and realized that they were not ready in life to have a baby. I wish all of those things. I wish that women never had to come to arrive at a moment in their life where they go, well, I can't do this. I am not going to be able to do this. There are some people who become pregnant and think about taking their own lives. I wish they didn't feel that way. There are women who have babies and kill those babies when they're children, when they're toddlers, when they're 7 years old, when they're 10 years old, because they don't have the support in their communities. They don't have support in their families. And so I wish all those things, but I don't want to take away that as a medical procedure.
Well, I think the bigger issue with Trump, and maybe not just Trump, but politicians in general, is why you change your mind. Like you and Craig have said it on this radio station, you guys form your opinions as you hear points from different sides. And that in itself is beautiful. That is the open-mindedness that everyone should have to work together in a beautiful way in life. However, if you're changing your mind because you've been influenced by the thoughts of those around you and you're intelligent enough to be open-minded, that's beautiful. If you're changing your mind because all of a sudden you're running on the Republican ticket instead of something else, that's where I think people get disillusioned with the establishment of politics, and that's why I think Trump is doing so well. Whether he's flip-flopping on things or not, people are just so fed up. Like that clip that we listened to, these last three Congresses have been so inactive, getting nothing done. Things just, whether it's, you know, the 24-hour news cycle or not, telling us that things are getting worse. It does feel that way, and it feels more and more like we're disconnected from this oligarchy of rich politicians or whatever. And Trump's coming in and says, look,
could
I don't take
mark,
any money
could
from
you
anybody.
Mark oligarchy is a word that we haven't used regularly
yep,
enough. Okay,
it might not be correct. Official. It might be about
that's,
kings
that
and
seems
stuff.
Good.
I don't know. Don't call me out on my vocabulary. I'm from Alabama.
You're very – look, you have a well-rounded vocabulary that we always appreciate and perspective.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think people are tired of the way the government doesn't work. And I think Trump, for better or for worse, is capitalizing on that.
Let's see what Jamie says. Jamie's got a Trumpinion as well. This is our Trumpinion section of the show.
Trumpinion, yes.
Our Trumpinion, per Craig Collins, and we love that title. Jamie, what's your thoughts?
Hey, what's going on, Patty? I love the show. It's
Thank
fantastic.
You. Thank you very much. We have fun. I have a crush on my show. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is.
I buy it, thanks.
It's your voice is quite sexy. Anyway.
Oh, hello.
But
thanks.
Anyway,
thanks, Jamie.
you're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
But anyway, it's... And what you said about abortion and Planned Parenthood, yes, it is. We're sick of. I guess what it is, or what I'm feeling, because I'm a 40-something dude that is out there, and I guess what it is we see these career politicians that are completely out of touch with life, and it's just like being a politician is not a career. It's something that should be done for that, and that's why I think the appeal of Trump is he's going to be in and out, and that's kind of what Router is. He's in and out. He's there to solve a problem and make things work and be gone. And it's just like with what you said about Planned Parenthood is it's just like no one loves abortion. No one. That.
No, he's right.
And
yeah.
It is, but... It's, my health teacher in high school said if he could, he would love to put birth control in the milk and give milk out every day to everyone so that we wouldn't have to be in this situation.
So we could have sex on the streets.
Which is, you know.
Well, no, not sex on the streets, but if let's face it, people have unprotected sex.
Yeah, come on.
Not.
I mean, in the alley, for sure, but not in the street.
I think the appeal of Trump, and yes, he's scary as hell. He is. But, is Cruz? I mean, when your college roommate, and I've had, like, my college roommate was an absolute freak show. I'd come home at night and he was rocking in his chair. And it's just like when your college roommate comes out and says, that guy was a weirdo. He's just a weirdo. And his college roommate, just an average guy, says that. It's just like, is this the guy we want to lead? He's on an agenda. He wants to be the president. And it, like you see the shady stuff he's been doing to get there, or allowing that to happen. It just I don't know. It's
but you so Ted Cruz concerns you much more than a Trump presidency.
Oh yeah, oh okay. Yeah, man. He's a right wing fanatic, and he's a yes man to that. And that's the thing. I guess that's the appeal of Trump is. He really doesn't answer to anyone. He doesn't care.
And I think
that
I think some of the evangelical sort of fundamental opinions that Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are sharing. I don't know if you've seen the latest. Marco Rubio was saying Latin America about the Zika virus that the women should not have access to abortion because God has decided this is what's going to happen to your baby. So God has passed judgment on your unborn child, so you must now, you know.
He told me last night that that's what he was doing.
Yes.
But if you look at the church attendance, I mean, less than 22% of America goes to church every Sunday.
They seem to vote as well.
Yeah. But that's the problem. They're the voters.
Exactly.
We have less than a 50% voter turnout for our major election, and less than what, a 25% turnout for our non-major elections. I mean, it's just like America has allowed this to happen, and we're letting a Trump, and we let the Rubios and the Cruzes come in, these fanatics come into it. When does 18% to 22% of the population, why do they get it? Who cares about the evangelicals? They're less than 18 to 22% of the population.
But like you said, they vote. They vote. I mean, you look statistically, when nobody comes out, that generally the evangelical, the right-wing side wins because those people vote, which whether you agree with them or not, they're doing their job as American citizens, and they're winning.
Exactly.
Is it because they're more passionate about being Christians than Americans are about being Americans?
I think there's something, and you know, Jamie, tell me if you agree or not. I think there's something to be said for that, at least for when I've come from the South. I come from a very Republican conservative area. And it is a little bit ingrained, like being against abortion or like holding the door open for somebody. Like, you know what I mean? Whether it's a good or a bad thing, it's ingrained to vote. It's a part of being a Republican and American. I think a little bit more than, say, maybe the other side, which is a little bit more disillusioned with the way things work or lack thereof, which is not an excuse not to vote. But I do think politically, numbers-wise, we see that.
Yep, I agree.
I 100% agree, and that's the thing. It's just like working in this world. It's, you know, we're not taught to work. I come from Central Illinois. I've had a job. I've had a job since I was 12, and it's just like that's ingrained to me. You work.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
It's not a choice to.
Jamie, what was your government? May I ask, what was your first job?
My first job was I was working in the fields. I walked beans and I roped corn, which is I picked out too tall a corn out of rows to make it to generalize it.
I believe Brandon was laughing because he recognized that as a chore.
Absolutely. We had outside of that, we worked chickens, and our job when we were little kids to go kill all the sick chickens. And when you tell people I was roping chickens, they're like, "What? You did what?" I was like, "Never mind, Yankee. Let's just live in the city together."
Tell me about roping chickens.
I think Brandon also needs a hug for his whole childhood. I think someone needs to go in there.
Hey, Jamie and I turned out fine, didn't we?
Absolutely.
No, it's just what it is. It's just like they're a commodity, or animals are kind of a commodity for like this, things like that. It is like
it's the family business.
It could ruin the whole thing. You have to take out the bad, but it is. It's just like, I think we're so frustrated, and it is. I'm an affluent white male that it is. I hate to say it, but Trump is speaking to me, and I'm a big Howard Stern fan too.
Okay, I think I need Jamie to stay on the line for. Let me take a break because I have more questions. I think this is a good conversation,
yeah,
Jamie is now my guest. You have stepped into the Trumpinion corner of the show.
Trumpinion.
312-981-7200. See how it's not an argument?
This is nice.
More after this on 720 WGN. We'll get something for him too for his time.
I'm on the live blog. I just saw this.
This is from Donald J. Trump at Real Donald Trump. This happened 9 minutes ago. Well, more than that now because it was just handed to me. But it's still warm.
Okay. Yeah. Like the Scantron papers?
No, like the BS that comes out of his mouth.
Oh, got it.
Here's the tweet verbatim. I hear the Ricketts family, who own the Chicago Cubs, are secretly spending monies against me. They better be careful. They have a lot to hide. Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh. Battle of the billionaires. So what's Trump have on Ricketts that he's threatening to release?
I don't know. I mean, Joe Ricketts obviously has been involved in
Ameritrade, right? Didn't he start Ameritrade?
Well, and politics too. I mean, he's been a political figure.
But this sounds like there's some big secret of the Ricketts family that Trump thinks he knows.
He's going to blow the whistle on the Ricketts.
Right, right. No response yet from the Ricketts. Trump's very angry.
He is.
Very, very angry.
This actually goes to another point that Jamie on our line right now. He is our guest. He's supporting the Trump opinion. He's drawn to the candidacy of Donald Trump. So I wanted to have a conversation. Did you hear about that? That he wants to.
Yeah.
He's threatening Ricketts to reveal where his donations have gone.
Yes. Yes, I did hear about that. That's a little bit of posturing, I'm hoping. I don't know. It's hard to be a Cubs fan and to hear that. And we've got a great 2016. He looks great for the Cubs.
Oh yes, it does, yes, man. Yes, it does.
Do we need to have the owners drugged out? I mean, but anyway.
Well,
Arrieta's going to go 2 ERA regardless of whether Ricketts is in the news or not, my friend. So you stay strong with the Cubbies.
I like that.
I love to hear that from an Alabama fan.
Well, he's also a Braves fan.
Yeah, I'm a hardcore Braves fan. And just to make it clear, War Eagle, no Roll Tide. But that's probably insider baseball for you and me, Jamie.
That is.
So you are the Trump candidacy appeals to you, and you were talking about how, you know, nothing's gotten done. Here's a guy who says he's gonna get in and get out. He's not gonna be a lifetime a career politician in much the same way that Governor Rauner has stepped in as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things that I don't know when it happened that we have these career politicians that are in for all that. And I think one of the first things that we should do to kind of stop this is let's just take retirement and insurance away from these politicians and just say, hey, fund your own. And
well, there's a couple of things. Like I agree with term limits, and I in particular I think that there should be term limits when it comes to offices like Madigan's, Michael Madigan's, and John Cullerton, who have been the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate in Illinois. Perhaps those positions should have term limits. I had an argument with a good friend of mine about this, and not an argument, but just sort of a conversation where I'm hesitant to say that no one should be a career politician because there are some people who are very good at serving the population and whatever, and maybe it's something about like changing jobs. Maybe you're not a rep for 40 years. Maybe you serve as, you know, a comptroller, or you have different branches of the government that you learn, you understand how legislation works in the best way to serve the people. I think there are some people who have done a great job. And I also think that it's very hard to get people to run. So
yeah,
if you can make it easier for more qualified people to run, then maybe. But what if you already have qualified people who do a good job and you're just throwing out the baby with the bathwater because you don't like some of them?
Well, I think the answer is you make electing people a part of easy for the people. You know
right.
what I mean? You
yeah.
don't keep it in this. I mean, like, I think, and Jamie, maybe you agree, an appeal of Trump is that he does not work for the super PACs.
Right.
He's funding his own thing. So if we make... Maybe we do less public funding of all these programs and we do more public funding of the voting system, of the election system. So now voting days are holidays and you're off work and they're publicly funded information and debates and we take away the ability to give money to them. And so now you have real people that really want to do the work. Trying to get these positions. And so if they want to do it for 40 years and they keep getting the will of the people to keep them in for 40 years, then it's okay. It gets rid of that career politician that gets comfortable and knows that super PAC has his back. He's going to get reelected every 4 years because no one's paying attention and somebody's paying.
And that's the thing is, I think that I agree. Yes, Jamie, you go ahead. You were going to agree as well. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, exactly. And I think that's the one. I don't know why we have weekday elections. I mean, let's face it. It's a very difficult to get in to vote. I know, granted, it's a 7-7 type of or 7-7 time frame here, but it's difficult with kids and a family and stuff to come in. And this, if you had a set, all elections should be held on a Saturday.
Absolutely. Or a holiday. And let me ask you this, Jamie, do you not think they do that for a reason?
Well,
I mean, it's just nuts, man.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, let's look at it. I mean, who gets to draw the political line? And it's just like whenever you get a jagged border of what's a
What's an accept? It should just be a block. Here's a block. Here's a block. Here's a block. Don't put a border around it about who's going to vote. You know, these people predominantly are Democrat or Republican. I mean, why would you let a party decide who gets the lines for voting? I mean, it's just like it's a system set up for corruption.
Jamie, you've become one of my favorite callers. Can you hold on the line? I have to go to the news, and we want to get your information. You have to pick right now, Lou Malnati's or Apt Electronics for your gift card. I believe I already gave away a
gift card.
From Apt?
Apt is great.
All right. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics. Thank you, Steve Shapiro. We have to figure out a category for best caller of the week, even though it's only Monday, so it's not really fair.
Yeah, your name's high up on the
list.
How about
best caller in a long time? And we love all of our calls.
That going for me.
Well, we always appreciate it. Jamie, make sure you come back and give us a call during Trumpinion or other segments of the show. Be well. So hold on the line, and Craig will get your information. Gary, I have to go to the news, so if you would please hold on the line. We'll make it worth your while. You're listening pretty late. What song is this, Craig? What is this music?
This hurts me almost as much as it hurts Brandon. Brandon, what is this?
Huh? It's Music Man?
No, it's not Music Man. Hold on.
Oh no! I can't. Why would you do that?
Oh, Big Tide,
because
Red Tide,
because you
Rocky Top, anything else?
I know.
Okay, we have a listener who's
like
been holding on the line.
Jammer. How could you
play this in a second? Let's let Gary have his say as well, because we are talking about the upcoming. Well, we are in the middle. We are in the thrust. We are in the throes of the presidential elections. We are in the primary season, and Gary wants to join our conversation. Hey, Gary.
Hi. First of all, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I enjoy your show, and I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Okay.
And my take on this is that I don't know why other Vietnam veterans and other veterans and Americans who support Donald Trump, I'm not sure why they would support him. The guy didn't serve in the armed forces because he had a trick knee. He got out of the draft because he had a trick knee. Now I assume it's great.
Hold on, that's an interesting point, because do you remember how big this used to be? Do you remember when it was, whether it was Bill Clinton didn't serve but Bob Dole did, and it was, you know, whether or not George W. Bush had served? I think he was in the Air National Guard. How long this was something that often came up. And
right.
I guess it's our time in history where, you know, it's much harder to say, well, someone went to a military academy or they served in Vietnam, because now it is enlisted, right? Everything. I think many of the politicians who ran during the 80s and 90s and even the 2000s were often drafted as a result of, you know, massive wars that we were waging, even though obviously Iraq, Afghanistan, these are massive wars as well, but it's all volunteer. So I wonder,
right.
It's an interesting point that you make, that we no longer have that as a standard for serving as the commander-in-chief who has to send men and women to battle.
Yeah. If I could just say one, if I could add this, I looked at, after I got out, I got back from Nam, and I went through my own personal, you know, yada, 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 this and stuff.
Hey, Gary, your experience and what you went through is not yada, yada. And I just want to say that, but go ahead.
Thank you.
It's important. Yes.
I ended up at the working at the VA, and I took care of guys coming back from the war in Iraq, and as a health worker, and I had guys who were injured, you know, wounded, and they were bad wounds.
Yeah.
And to hear Trump say he's going to send 100,000 troops back in the Middle East, and thousands will come back dead. And then the people who support this idiot, excuse my language.
Gary, I think you've earned the right to say what you need to say, so you don't have to apologize. Go ahead.
I'm kind of heated up. But they don't seem to care about that. And that's what bothers me most of all. That's why I go back to the Nam thing. Mm-hmm. And I say, it speaks to a person's character. Nobody says offhand, I'll send 100,000 troops into the Middle East and we'll take over all these oil fields. And nobody says that.
mm-hmm. if they know what they're talking about. So,
right. You would like to see someone who has a measured address, you know, address for or a
yeah
a plan, something that, like, yeah. we're going to send our young men and women to the Middle East.
Right.
And he has said things like, bomb them back. This is a 1,000-year-old war. We need to destroy them. And it really, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that how can you win by bombing people we don't understand and don't?
You can't. I've seen the devastation. I saw it in Nam. I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you what happened. I was working a gate. Checking on people coming in and out of the gate at Tansanute. And I had my M16 slung across my shoulder, mm-hmm. and a lady comes up to me, an old lady, and she was carrying something, and it was half a kid. It was cut off at the waist. It was lifted from the waist down, and she goes, why?
Right.
And it was because we had a B-52 raids, and everybody in her family was killed, and that's all she brought down. Trying to figure out why we killed her family. And so we killed a lot of people over there, and we killed a lot of people over in the Middle East.
Yes.
And so it's just a two-way street. And
To what end? I mean, because you've come back from Vietnam. What do you see as the result of everything that we did? The cost, both for us, for them, to humanity.
The cost was overwhelming to so many of my friends, and we didn't gain anything.
No.
You know, hopefully for a while we gained knowledge, but over the years we lost all that because politicals use all that kind of talk and everything to get everybody fired up and say, we're going to go here and do this and do that, and it's all a bunch of baloney.
Well, that was what, and I grew up in the 80s. So for me, it was, you know, what I sort of this aftermath, right, during the Reagan administration. And, you know, we're going to build up this country. We're the greatest country in the world. For you, when did you come back, Gary? What year did you come back from Vietnam?
I was there March 72 to March of 73.
So when you came back, I mean, what was it like for you to see what, you know, it's to, from what I understand, because I studied a little bit about this, but it seemed like you were used as an example of, you know, how America can be a monstrous presence in another country.
Nobody asked me what I did. They thought I was up in, like, you know, at college for a year or something like that. Nobody talked to me about Vietnam. Nobody asked me any questions. I couldn't talk to anybody about it. And I shut down for a lot of years.
Right.
And then I eventually got to the VA, and I talked with a couple of counselors, and I worked there with them, and they got me on the right track.
Gary, I want to thank you for being so honest, because, again, the fact that you even said no one wanted to know, because we do and we should know, and we have made this mistake over and over again, sending young men and women like you. And were you drafted for Vietnam?
No, I volunteered, actually.
What drew you to volunteer?
Say again, please.
Why did you volunteer? Was it a sense of commitment?
I was 2 weeks out of high school, and I had the opportunity. My parents were able to have the opportunity to send me to college, but I wanted to do something different. And I'm not sure. I'll never figure that one out. But I just decided to do it because my brother had a friend who served over there, and I talked to him, and I felt like going over there. I have no idea why, but I just felt like, you know, I wanted to do this, and I wanted to see what it was about. I was kind of political. I was a Bobby Kennedy supporter back in the 60s. And so I was kind of like, you know, I wanted to see what it was about, and I found out what it was about, and and that's okay and everything, you know. It turned out, eventually, everything turned out good because I was able to work with other veterans eventually, and, you know, everything worked out the way, I think, you know, the way that it worked out well for me.
Gary, I want to thank you, and I don't think I can express enough. I'm sure there are listeners right now who are captivated by your story, by your voice, by your contribution. I want to thank you for the work that you are doing to help other veterans. And
it was hard for me to say this, but you know, I want to thank you for listening to me, and I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
Well, we can't even go there because there's so much more that we owe you from the bottom of our hearts, from all of us. Gary, this was an important phone call. I would say one of the most important phone calls we've ever taken on our show. So
thank you. Absolutely.
Hang on the line for a moment. We want to get your email. You're listening pretty late with Patty Vasquez. That was Gary. And thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
Get to it. We thought we had time, but we blew.
There's no laughing at injuries during the What We Meant to Get To song. That hurt. I kicked my chair a little bit there, Brandon C. Price.
Please go on the website and look at the podcast video of that.
You, during the dance, pretend nothing can hurt you.
Yes.
Do not.
You keep going.
You commit
nothing.
To
Do not
the
recognize
dance.
Pain.
That's all. That, you were, that was like some impressive, because sometimes we'll chair dance.
Yeah.
But you were like mobile.
Yeah, I was trying to really think of some more stuff in there. So
yeah.
I want more elevator and stair work from you because you have, you know what I mean? Just saying.
I'm trying to find a way to do the elevator on the chair, but I can't because it only goes down
okay,
so much.
Can we talk about
I see you going down a little bit and then like falling backward.
Can we talk about the chairs? Do you think we'll get in trouble if we talk about the chairs?
Well,
you know what we meant to get to tonight? The chairs.
We had some loaner, chairs from a company.
We
that,
had some great chairs for a while. They were great office chairs. I don't know if you remember. They were kind of like that thick material.
Oh, I do.
They were great. Really nice.
And they were on pneumatic lifts, too. They were very nice. And but they were loaners. So if there's anybody who provides office furniture and they want to be featured
pretty
in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Maybe pretty late on the best show around. Yeah.
I'm just saying, we will put a gold plate on the back of your chair.
If you want to send us chairs, we're in.
What's the legal department say about that?
That's fine. You know, right, whatever. Whatever. All right.
That's
sponsor, their official statement.
you should meet our lawyers. They're great guys. Whatever.
Hey, we ever talked about how, I don't know, no one's ever told me if I could discuss. No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you decided in your own mind, so I'm just going to trust what you thought.
Just going to move on from there.
Uh-huh.
Craig, I don't know how to explain to Brandon C. Price what happened in the first part of the show when Esmeralda, Leon, and I decided that we were going to do something to parts of our body.
And, that's a weird way to explain it. That's,
then his
ambiguity.
Imagination exploded.
So just leave it. We'll go ahead and just, that's what's in the
Wait,
box.
Wait, now Esmeralda, I'm looking right at your camera screen, and I'd like to know the answer.
Let it be an imagination thing.
Yeah.
All right.
It's on the podcast.
It's crazier in here than it is out there.
WGNradio.com. Check out the podcast tomorrow morning.
Although, when we're done, Esmeralda and I will be going for pedicures together.
Okay.
Oh, see?
Girls' Day.
Girls' Day. Do you have a place? Because I have a place, but I'm not sure. Your place might be better.
Are you going to do generic Girls' Day stuff?
What's generic? Like, what's generic?
2016,
like,
Craig, be
pedicures
careful.
And things. That's No, that's Girls' Day
a
stuff.
Mani- oh,
right?
Oh, like in Tu Wong Fu?
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have a Girls' Day.
Girls'
you
Day.
You go to a cafe and you talk about things.
Yeah,
I forgot what else they said.
We're definitely, I think more, we're more what's on tap kind of gals.
Yeah, you know? Right. That's why I wouldn't call that like a Girls' Day. You're just going to have
that's
a day
Girls'
out.
Day.
Yeah.
Girls' Day.
Wow. I don't know what that, I kind of need Brandon to be like walking around us and say, and then they walked in there for Girls' Day.
Girls' Day.
Doing a shot. I'm
coming this summer.
Craig, I wanted to ask earlier, let's just go ahead. What we never get to are many of the texts. Do we have any that we would like to share for this part? I know that there's probably a few that you got to kind of, you have to go through, filter them.
Yeah
sorry about that. I meant to ask earlier.
Someone wanted the Eagles as a bump tonight. We missed that. Sorry about that.
Oh, we apologize. We meant to get to that.
So sorry. Politics is very much a career, and it should be. That's a text from a lot earlier in the
night. I thought there might be some people who agreed with that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Love the groove and the riffs on these songs. Reminds me of the Doobie Brothers. This is really great music.
They were great. I agree. Tom Holland and the Shuffle.
Please tell the bass player I really like his style.
Yeah, Hero.
Which is awesome, because Hero is playing guitar, but like
it's
following the bass line, which is awesome.
Yeah,
what a good
really
actual
impressive.
Compliment. That's cool.
Now, there you go. Done and done.
When you get to heaven, Hendrix plays the harp every day.
Oh, my God. That's amazing in my mind.
It's Iowa.
That's great. Yeah. Those are some of the texts from this evening that we didn't get to.
Excellent. Thank you so very, very much for your text. We also did not, you know, we've never gotten to from last week even, was the call for cuddlers for newborn babies that are in foster care.
Oh, my God. You can volunteer to be a cuddler. You can cuddle little newborn babies.
Babies!
This is a volunteer. We should all do this. We should all volunteer to do this.
Do you have to take them?
No.
Like,
you can go in and cuddle them.
No, I mean,
you touched it. It's yours.
Well, no, I don't mean like that. But do you foster?
No, you're just
the term.
You're volunteer cuddler.
So you go somewhere, you hang out, and you cuddle them, and then you can leave.
So these are orphans. The babies are orphans, Esmeralda, and you get to go into the hospital or the care center, wherever the orphans are, and you would cuddle them for a few hours, and that would be your volunteer job for the day, and then you would leave.
Oh, okay, because I read it wrong, as in you have to foster.
No, it's not foster care. You're just a cuddler.
Have you seen that service now that literally brings you like 12 puppies and lets you lay in a pile of puppies for an hour?
So
as
Uber
a therapeutic
did
service?
That for like a day. Yes. Is that a full on service now?
No, I didn't even know it was related to Uber, but awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a thing. You can order a bag of puppies basically to just cover you in puppies.
By the way, if you go to the University of Chicago, uchospitals.edu. There is a whole volunteer program and all kinds of opportunities. We need to be doing all of these things. My head is exploding. So there's a TLC patient visitors, a tender loving care program that you can volunteer. You can read aloud to patients in the inpatient units, play cards.
Can we play music? Can we play music?
You can absolutely play music. My head is exploding. We need to partner with a hospital and do this. We need
Let's do it. I got 17 very talented human beings that love to play music.
Yes. Volunteers, a visit, encourage healing, ease patients' hospital stay. Now, as far as the baby cuddling for University of Chicago hospitals, you have to complete 40 hours of service in the University of Chicago Medicine Corner, the Comer Children's Hospital Playroom. So you can go to the playroom, you can enjoy playing games. Like, who doesn't want to go play chutes and ladders with a kid? Let's go do that.
I don't know.
I'm a little competitive. I don't...
Hey, well, no one said you have to let them win. You can play your own way.
I see Esmeralda and Brandon see Price, like, throwing down, like, flipping the board over with them.
Well, I want to go back on the show, but we played Risk, and I could never look her in the eye again.
Can I say I used to babysit this little kid, and he would be so mean to me. Mm. We would play video games,
yes,
like shooter games, and he would shoot me. We would be on the same team, and he would shoot me. yeah, laugh it up.
I can see that being very annoying.
But, you know... Yes. I would be
gracious,
a little
patient.
Yeah,
I don't know. Why don't I believe you?
I'm a little worried about that side.
Okay, so maybe
your kid being mean.
Maybe
to
the
me.
Two of you like, not playing on. Chutes and Ladders or Candyland in the playroom for the children at Comer Hospital for Children. Okay, how about this? You could do surgery waiting lounge.
I'm no good at giving surgery.
The waiting lounge.
It's the waiting lounge.
Oh, but they'd be so nervous.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I think that's why, yeah, right?
You're there to soothe tattered nerves.
Get your butt kicked at chutes and ladders while you're waiting.
Okay, so because I went through this, I don't know if it would be annoying or not. Like, you have to be someone who is completely malleable, can adjust to the situation.
Yeah, sure.
You know what my big problem was? When my dad had small cell lung cancer, which is one of the reasons why I am so committed to the Fight for Air Climb. Smoking is one of those things where people blame the patients, right? They're like, oh, well, they smoke. They deserve cancer. I will tell you something. My dad was one of the funniest, most charismatic people I knew, and he did not deserve the kind of suffering that he met at the end of his life. When he was going through radiology, he would go through all these scans, and they would take him for chemo and radiation. You know what made me the craziest, Brandon, was that every television in the waiting room, Craig, we've never talked about this. I was like screaming. I felt like Shirley MacLaine in terms of endearment. It was the TVs were always to like a Jerry Springer show or like a Maury Povich, you know, you are the baby's daddy. And I was like, you got to be kidding me with this. Just, I mean, off. Like, turn the, just off. I need this and not, this can't be the background. I didn't have headphones. I was not that kind of girl yet. I could not, my nerves.
You're a headphone girl now?
I'm a headphone girl.
Okay,
now.
Good. Okay, good.
How many headphones do I have, Craig?
A lot. You have a lot of pairs
I have
headphones.
Five pairs of headphones.
You left me out a nice pair of headphones, and I went with the
ear pillows.
Yeah, you ignored ones. Them.
Well, you know, I support WGN and all their equipment.
Okay. And also...
real quick, if we have some other stories to get to, there was a hilarious one. A man out of... where is this out of? Out of Oregon shared a post of all the funny texts he got from his wife over the course of a year. These are the mundane ones, the odd ones, a bunch of different... Some examples are, I can hear you watching porn out there.
I did get a text from the bedroom last night. I was on the couch.
Uh-huh.
I was, what was I? Oh, I was watching two nights ago. It was Terminator 2.
Okay.
Which apparently is a remote dropper for me. I did not know that until it happened.
What's a remote dropper?
That means like you're just flipping around and then something comes on your screen. You're like, nope, I'm done. Sticking.
All right.
I'm staying here.
I'm staying on this one.
I'm post-cable in my TV watching, so remote dropper is a term. God. Like, hang up the phone. We're about to lose it, my friends.
That is great. So she texted to him, I can hear you watching porn.
Yeah, so he just shared a whole big list of them. Another one is, bring something that I can blow my nose in.
Aw. I'm trying to see, like, what my texts are.
Also, my tomatoes died. Sad face.
Well, that was massive. Maybe he'll fall asleep now.
Okay.
That's a text.
Zing. Patty's winning this game. So
I'm just saying.
The zing of the day.
Mm-hmm. Taco is a text from this woman.
Back up and running. That's a text that I got. I'm not sure what that meant. I have car repair questions. Give me a call. Grazie.
We went through our texts. I'm about to win this game.
I'm eating your
sausage.
I'm about
to shut this station down. Give a text.
From the wife to the
husband.
That's
a mic dropper right there. Uh-huh. That's it.
Dude, I need a muffin. Find me one.
I kind of
love
that.
Is that a movie coming out this summer?
Yeah, I love Dude, I Need a Muffin.
Ashton Kutcher is in trouble.
It's Sean, whatever
he needs
his name
a muffin.
Is. Sean William Scott.
I think it's interesting when there's a text that includes both my mother, my dog, and Elliot Serrano.
That is interesting. Yes.
Yes. It will all be a mystery to you now.
Oh, I was thinking group text, and I was like, that's weird that they talk, and it's also weird that your dog texts.
How cute would that phone be? Aww. Is that for a paw?
Wow, they kept Hillary for over 11 hours on Benghazi and looked foolish trying to rattle her for a gotcha moment. These are the sexy and hot texts that I get from
my
husband.
I'm just saying, at 201, why not tweet Brandon at Brandon C. Price 5, and I got some Hillary gotcha moments. Just saying.
You go ahead and say it. I'm not manly enough. That is a text from a wife to a husband.
I've stopped watching, going to bed now. Tell Carm he should have just said Cubs sweep and not just it'll be a sweep.